this is Tony Lloyd. Being a broadcaster for many years, I've witnessed some great stories in the music industry, and now I want to bring as many music stories to you as I can in this series of podcasts. My goal is that they will inspire others making their way in the music world.
Music Stories with Tony Lloyd.
Rachel Sage, welcome to Music Stories. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm here down south in South Carolina, but I cannot wait to come across the pond and play for y'all in England.
Okay, well said. Thank you for that. You've got a new single called Deepest Dark, which we're going to talk about in a minute. I need to delve a little bit into you personally, if you don't mind, and ask you, how did you start in the music business? You know, have you always done it, or is it a recent thing? How did it all start?
Sure. Well, that's not that personal. I got excited for a minute. You were really going to dig deep. But I've been playing piano since I was 2.5 years old. And I always say I'm just so fortunate that my parents had one in their living room, because they're both non-musicians. My dad is actually tone deaf. He can't even sing happy birthday on tune. And I just took to it right away. And I think for me, it was kind of my second language, and in some ways my first, maybe, because I could express myself more freely through music. So I've really been doing it all my life.
Did you teach yourself, or did you have lessons, piano lessons?
I did teach myself on piano. And then when I got to guitar a bunch of years later, I tried to take some lessons, but the teacher made me cry. So I just kept teaching myself.
Grief. Well, I was talking.
What can you do?
I was talking to somebody else who's a pianist on another episode of Music Stories, and she's a concert pianist. And I said to, I said to her, you know, did your mother send you off to have piano lessons? Because mine did, and I got to grade 3 in the UK and failed the exam. And that was it. But I didn't enjoy it at all. I'm obviously interested in music, and you know, I've been in the music industry a long time. But so it probably did me some work.
Having the right teacher is a big part of turning you on, you know, to a subject. Yeah. I think for me, it was more of just a very natural connection. My mother did send me off to ballet class, and that sounds like it was more of the stringent experience you might have had in music. Mm. Initially, I hated it. I came home crying and begging to stop. It was just so hard, and it was physically difficult and painful. But then by the time I was in my early teens, I had come to absolutely love dance and ballet, and I couldn't wait to get to those lessons. So sometimes you just have to stick with those 10,000 hours, even as a young person, to yield the pleasures of really being creative with it.
Yeah, I can imagine. Wow. And did you have to practice relentlessly?
I did, yes. Persistently, relentlessly. I went in on the train from Connecticut every day to New York City, and I studied at the School of American Ballet. And it was a real conservatory, like in the movie Black Swan, very similar to my life, although thankfully not with the same outcome. But I loved it. I really did. And I did that all through my teens. And while I say I didn't study music formally, in a way that was a kind of musical training as well, because I was hearing all of that classical music every day in dance class.
Mm, of course. And you're based in New York, I understand. What's it like to live in New York?
Well, you know, I lived in the East Village nonstop for over 20 years, and it's part of my DNA now. I know those city streets and the faces of my neighbors and, you know, all the different shops that have come and gone and venues that have come and gone. So there's been a lot of joy and a lot of heartbreak living there, just like any neighborhood that becomes overly gentrified through the years. Mm. But recently, I actually made my way upstate out of the city during lockdown, and I now live mostly in a community called Beacon in upstate New York, and it's very artistic and kind of bohemian, but also in beautiful nature. So I love it.
Yeah, sort of suits creativity, I should imagine.
Definitely.
Okay. You've got a new single out called Deepest Dark. Tell me what's that all about. I mean, how does it come about?
Yes. Well, this is the rare song that I actually dug back into my youthful archives. I went home to visit my mom, and bless her heart, she keeps everything. a little bit of a mild hoarder, I would say. But, you know, it works to my benefit sometimes. And she found this song on a 4-track tape recording. And I listened to it and I thought, wow, this means much more to me now than it did when I was 14 and I wrote it. And it felt like it was about friendship and about reaching across great distances and the chasms of time and space to stay connected with the ones we love. So I put it on the record.
Okay, why not? Let's have a little listen to it, shall we?
So I'm not lying on the ground, but I would still like to be found by some detective as protective as yourself. And if I call you, will you come to me tonight, even though everyone is sleeping, even though the deepest dark is still in? Of the best intentions. No, I'm not lying on the ground, but I would so like to be found by some detective as protective as yourself. And if I call you, will you?
It's, I don't normally play that much when I'm interviewing people, but I can't. I can't fade you out. Well, I can, but I don't want to.
I appreciate that.
No, that's really lovely.
That's also a really good lyric. I can't fade you out.
Well, there you go.
Maybe we could write that song together.
Okay, yeah, in the future. Yeah, I'm happy to do that. that's really good. What are your influences? Anybody who we know about that influences your writing at all?
I'm just going to dive right into the cliche because it happens to be 100% true. I was raised on the Beatles, you know, by my dad. Beatles, Buddy Holly, Doo Wop, all of the oldies, but also the timeless songs. And then I got a bit more of the folk side of things from my mom, James Taylor, Carole King, Joni Mitchell, that sort of thing. Mm. And then, you know, of course, I was just in the mix with my friends, my peers, and I did listen to top 40 music and pop music from around the world alongside the classical from ballet. So it was a real kind of melding of these different styles, and I hope that people can hear that as well in my music, some of the chamber strings that I use, and hopefully some catchy melodies that stick with you when I say goodbye.
Yeah, absolutely. And the video for that that song was shot in a big empty church, wasn't it? Where was that?
It was, yes, a chapel in Greenwich. And I had never been to that particular part of London. It was famous to me, but I absolutely loved it. And the director, Lee Malone, who's a real up-and-coming photographer, he shoots for Flaunt magazine, but I'd seen a wonderful video that he did for Niall McNamee while I was on tour with Imelda May. And it really drew me in. I thought it was so artistic. So I recruited him, and I think he did a wonderful job of capturing this sense of camaraderie between myself and my violinist, and also kind of reaching through the ages to kind of play to the ghosts in that beautiful church.
Mm, lovely. I used to live just about 2 miles away.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How about that? Beautiful area.
Yeah, I live in France now.
That's
another story. Tell me about working with Howard Jones.
I would love to tell you about that. He is just the nicest guy, and he made it so easy to make the very necessary leap from being starstruck to just hanging out and enjoying the touring and the friendship that we were able to forge. So I cannot say enough about what a kind, compassionate, and just mindful person he is, on top of being one of the greatest pop songwriters ever. So a dream come true, really. And we're still very much in touch. He's always very encouraging. And I'm so honored that we were able to do a duet together, the song I Made a Case, on my current album, The Other Side.
Excellent stuff. Yeah, lovely. I understand he's a nice guy. Lovely guy.
He sure is.
You're on a tour at the moment, aren't you? You're traveling around at the moment. Tell me about the tour. Where are you off to?
You bet. So I'm in Charleston, South Carolina, and we're going to start driving today and go to Asheville, and then Nashville, just to keep the rhyme going.
Oh, yeah.
Spend a few days there. And then you may have heard of a little festival called South by Southwest.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be traveling there to Austin. Then I'm home for one day before I embark on my big UK tour. And I'll be visiting you at the Bedford in London, as you may know.
Excellent. That's good. That's a nice venue.
Oh, I can't wait.
Okay. That's lovely. I'll try and get to it. What date is that? Do you know? Can you remember?
My postcard is on the couch in the hotel room. I could run and get it.
No, don't worry.
People could just go to my website, rachelsage.com.
Yeah, no problem. Actually,
I have a phone right here. Look at technology helping us out. I think it might be March 21st, but we're going to confirm that in a second.
I know it's so
much. While we chit-chat about something else. Yes, March 21st.
Okay, thank you for that. Okay, well, we'll make sure that everybody knows about that who's listening to this episode. What's the future then? I mean, that's the near future. What about long term? Have you got any long term plans?
Oh, yeah. I have big plans for this year. It's going to be a great year. I'm releasing an acoustic collection called Another Side on May 17th. And we're going to start trickling out singles in a few weeks for that. So everybody keep an ear out for that. And then I've actually already started recording my next record, just the very beginning of it. So like the basic tracks, drums, piano, guitar. And every time I go home, I'm going to keep chipping away at that. I love being in the studio. I love producing. So that's exciting. And I think it's quite different. It's much more embracing my pop piano side, kind of an Elton John feel. And then I'll be touring, you know, on and off through the rest of the year. I don't like not being busy. It makes me nervous.
Yeah. It's always best to be busy, I always say. What advice would you give to somebody listening to this episode of Music Stories who's... I always ask this question because everybody who I talk to has got so much experience, practical experience and in the music industry. And a lot of people are struggling. In fact, most people struggle in the music industry. What advice, just generally speaking, would you give to somebody listening to this about it all?
You know, I never feel overly qualified to give the business type of advice, even though I run a record label, because I recognize that for everyone, their journey is going to be different. I had a particular journey. I started a record label, Empress, and doing it for 20 years. So it's part of me, but that's not necessarily the way for everybody. So my biggest advice would be two things, really. The first would be whatever it is that you do, if you're a player or a singer, or you do both, get a regular gig where you can make mistakes and shed and not worry about the repercussions or if the wrong person's going to walk in and hear you and see you and it'll be damaging in some way. You know, a local venue, or if it's online, it could be directly with your fans on your own Instagram or Facebook. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, use that regular gig to really shed and become who you are and own your mistakes. And then my other bit of advice would be, and this is easier said than done, but in my 20s, I feel like I spent a lot of time trying to please everybody. You know, I'm a people pleaser, a perfectionist. And at the end of the day, you know, we each get one life, like none of that matters. The most important thing you have to offer is what makes you unique, what makes you different. So the whole pandering to please everybody is just a complete and utter waste of time and energy, in my opinion. Yeah. And I would just, you know, lean into that idea.
Because actually they don't appreciate it at the end of the day, do they? They forget all about it and do their own thing anyway.
You know, it's just, I think it's about being who you are, being authentic. And that word gets thrown around a lot today in the social media context. Mm. But I really mean it, you know, like just being honest with what you love, what really turns you on, what got you into it. And I feel like the rest of it will follow. You'll find your audience if you make stuff that you're so excited about, you can't contain it.
Mm. Excellent advice, I have to say. Another good one. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you, Rachel Sage, for talking to me on Music Stories. Your single Deepest Dark is out and available now. There are tour dates on your website and everything else, which is rachelsage.com. And thank you once again for talking to me.
My absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me on your show.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Tony Lloyd, creating audio and film worldwide.